Hello and welcome to Music Weekly. I'm Alexis Petridis, and coming up in today's show, we'll be reviewing the new Gil Scott-Heron album and speaking to XL head honcho Richard Russell, the man responsible for getting Gil back into the studio again.
I think he'd often be slightly surprised at what I found to be fascinating, but I knew that other people would find it fascinating.
This week's Singles Club brings you Kindness, Perfume Genius, and The Boy Who Trapped the Sun. And we meet Hebrew Afro Poppers Fool's Gold, who pass by Guardian Towers and play a track for us.
It started with a daydream, and then it materialized into long-winded, self-indulgent jam sessions, which then evolved into a more formalized group.
If that wasn't enough, we've also got an exclusive live track from Mike, that's Mike with two eyes, Snow. That's all in Music Weekly. As ever, I'm joined by Rosie Swash. Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. And also, it's the first podcast appearance of 2010 for Tim Jones, editor of guardian.co.uk/music. How's things, Tim?
Very good. Very good.
What have you been doing?
Been listening to lots of music, obviously.
Yeah, right,
just,
yeah.
Just
loads
checking
of hot
out
new bands.
Checking out new bands,
yeah,
you know.
All that stuff. Hot new tips of the year.
That kind of thing.
Excellent. Okay, let's crack on. This week saw the launch of I'm New Here, the new record by American poet and musician Gil Scott-Heron. It's his first album in well over a decade. It's the kind of record you sort of expected might never really come out, largely due to the fact that in the interim period since his last album, Gil Scott-Heron has spent a lot of time in prison for drug possession, coke, crack cocaine possession. It was while he was in jail that Richard Russell, head of XL Records, wrote to him asking if they could work together on a new album. And luckily for all concerned, Gil Scott-Heron agreed. Rosie, you have been talking not to Gil Scott-Heron,
no,
who is apparently quite a flaky character, but you've been talking to Richard Russell about
it. I have indeed. Well, I think one of the things that's interesting about the album is that a lot of people still regard Gil Scott-Heron from the days of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised.
Absolutely.
And he therefore sort of represents this particular kind of social commentary from that period. And on this album, on I'm New Here, it's very self-reflective and almost sort of domestic in themes at points. So when I spoke to Richard, I wanted to find out from him if this was something they discussed together, these kind of themes, or whether it was all Gil's idea.
Gil has always occupied a place for me musically which has been very, very important. Like, I think maybe like the place that Bob Dylan occupies for a lot of people. That's how I always felt about Gil. And Dylan is also someone where there was a strong social commentary aspect to what he does. But when you look at artists who are as good as this, they're never just about one thing. And you know, humans aren't about one thing. And if they're able to express, you know, who they are well through music, then you're not just going to get one thing, although often people just focus in on one thing. So, you know, with Gil, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised is like his best known song, I suppose, and for people, and you know, in Johannesburg, and those things are both like sort of social commentary. But then, you know, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, also there's a lot of humour in it, and there was always a lot of that to his work, and there's a lot of that to him as a person. And I think the personal aspect of how, I don't know, it's all personal. Everything he does has always been quite personal. And I say, tell no Satan now, I believe it's time to go. Me and the devil walking.
There's also there's quite a few interludes on the album which are just snatches of him talking or snatches of his part in a conversation. For example, Parents, which is him just explaining that he believes that your parents live on through their children in their blood.
I believe that the spirits are your parents and their parents and their parents and their parents, and they are in your bloodstream and they run through your body constantly because they want you to live on because they want to live on.
I just wondered how that was recorded. Was that just you sitting around with him, taking the best parts of what he has to say?
Yeah, that's it. We had basically when we were in the control room in the studio. Sorry, when he wasn't in the live room or in the vocal booth, when he was sitting with me and Lawson, who's the engineer, in between takes and just kind of sitting around. We used to have these conversations they were so incredible. Well, or at least the stuff he was saying was so incredible. Well, the stuff I was saying would have been the normal type of stuff that I say. But the stuff that he was saying was just so, I mean, just amazing and just extraordinary. And every word was so interesting that after a while, I realized that it was worth sticking a microphone in that room. And just, I mean, I asked him about it, and he, you know, he wasn't really bothered either way. And I think the moment we put a microphone in the control room, he totally forgot about it. So we carry on having these conversations, and you know, when Gil does his takes, I mean, he's such a good performer musically. He's so strong. You'd never really, you know, if he was playing piano or singing, you'd never really do that many takes. You'd get it quite easily. But you'd also, but you know, you'd have to be in the right mood to do that. And you'd sort of, and so there was quite a lot of, you know, we'd sit around and chat. And so those interludes are just some of the bits of it that were like just interesting. And so I would edit them and then play them to him. And I think he'd often be slightly surprised at what I found to be fascinating, but I knew that other people would find it fascinating.
Standing in the ruins of another black man's life, flying through the valley, separating day and night. I am death, cried the vulture, for the people of the light. Charon brought his raft from the sea that sails on souls. I saw the scavenger departing, taking warm hearts to the cold. He knew the ghetto was a haven.
I guess one of the things that has been picked up on about I'm New Here is that it's kind of new territory musically, or at least it's not. It's far away from the music, the jazz and the funk with which he made his name originally. Was that an idea? Is that something that you wanted to do with the record? Did you want to take some of these musical influences to him?
The way he explained this is he said that he has always been pioneering in what he's done. And I think if you look back at his past output, it might sound sort of very easy and palatable now, but it wasn't necessarily that way at the time. There was always a tremendous amount of edge to what he did. I think that's what I was always hoping we were going to be able to do. And I was hoping he was going to be an artist who you could go in a studio and work with, and you'd be able to do things in an interesting way, because he'd be up for that, which most artists of of his generation, you know, by this time they might not be up for doing that. But equally, you know, very few artists of any generation are actually up for pushing things, are actually up for doing things in a different way. I mean, the reason that, you know, people get so much inspiration from someone like Thom Yorke is because he pushes things. And he's up for doing things in a way which is like original, where there's always an edge to it. And you know, the majority of people who play in arenas, they're just really boring. They're really conservative. They're not really interested in like making progress and kind of pushing things. And I think like Thom Yorke, someone who does that within the mainstream, it's very, very unusual though. But I think Gil, you know, that's of interest to him, and he's never been a pop artist. I mean, I used to just put things together. The process was always that I put things together and play things for him, and he'd have a very, very good sense of what was a good idea and what was not a good idea. So, you know, I think, I mean, hopefully from listening to the record, people can hear that there's a sort of continuity to the whole thing, which I think was from him just having some, you know, strong views about it all.
And so my life has been guided, and all the love I needed was provided. And through my mother's sacrifices, I saw where her life went. To give more than birth to me, but life to me. And this ain't one of them cliches about black women being strong, because hell, if you're weak, you're gone. But life, courage, determined to do more than just survive. And too many homes have a missing woman or man without the feeling of missing love.
Man, that's a good album. Richard Russell of XL Records there, talking about Gil Scott-Heron's latest release, I'm New Here, which is coming out shortly. What do we think of that?
I really like it, unsurprisingly. Like most people, particularly people who were on our website last week when we had the exclusive listen to the album.
Nice big up.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, do you like
keep,
that, boss?
Keep plugging.
Yeah. Part of the reason it's being so well received is just because it's incredibly moving. It's totally heartfelt. It's come out, it feels as if it's come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that were on the blog were saying, I didn't know that this was coming. I didn't know he was still making music. I didn't, you know, some people say I didn't even know he was still alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. And I think that, you know, of all the sort of artist comebacks there have been, of which there have been a great number in the last sort of decade and sort of post Johnny Cash world, this is the most unexpected because, you know, because Gil Scott-Heron just seemed to be such a total disaster area on a personal level, because he's, you know, is or was a crack addict because he was never out of prison, he's HIV positive, you know, it doesn't get much bleaker than his life appeared to be, and yet here he is. He's pulled this amazing, only 28 minutes long, but nonetheless, you know, 28 really good minutes out of the bag. I think it's an incredible record. Tim, what do you think?
Do you think they should make more crackheads make albums?
I think they should. Yeah, no, totally. A force just generally out in the street. I don't think they should do that. I think that's a terrible idea, Tim. I don't know what you're suggesting.
I mean, I just basically second everything you've said. I mean, it's brilliant. It's very moving. You said Johnny Cash. It reminds me of Johnny Cash a bit, just the fact that the voice is so important, and it's like hearing that voice, and because it ages so well.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, it's not like a lot of comebacks where you don't want to hear them now they're old.
No, absolutely.
You want to hear the kind of the experience and that kind of knowledge, and it sounds wise and lived in. So.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's interesting about it is the vast majority of those sort of comeback albums that you get of sort of, you know, 60-something artists, what they tend to do is put them in a studio with a bunch of young acolytes or, you know, people that have been influenced by them, and get them to make a record that's a sort of facsimile of whatever their classic sound is, you know, to sort of recapture what they were like in 1973. And, you know, it'd be very easy to do that with Gil Scott-Heron. You know, you could very easily make a sort of acid jazzy record that sounds a bit like the Revolution Rock Tellers. And this doesn't do that at all. I mean, this has got kind of a dubstep influence, has a cover of a Smog track on it, it's full of samples, Kanye West. It's a really, really brave record to make, I think.
And how good must it be if you can literally record just you talking shit,
and
it becomes a track.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, why is it taking him so long? He could have put loads out.
I know, he could have just been sat in prison with a dictaphone.
Exactly. You
know? No, I think it's I think it's a genuinely sort of amazing record. There's also the question of why do you think there are so many of these albums around? Not like, you know, not the same as, but, you know, in the same vein as the Gil Scott-Heron album. Why are we so obsessed with digging out people from the past and making them do a kind of final lap of honour?
Well, you could say, a cynic would say, it's a reflection of the state of the new music that's being made these days.
Certainly
a cynic would say that.
Tim wouldn't say that because he listens to a lot of new music. A lot of dubstep and funky.
I think people like a sense of closure in some senses. You know, it's a very depressing end to the Gil Scott-Heron story if we just kind of ended up in jail, and I think it taps into that kind of, thank God my hero is still here.
Definitely. And I also think there's something to do with maybe a slightly ageing population of record buyers. Mm-hmm. I mean, and by record buyers, I mean people who actually pay for music rather than download it or nick it illegally or whatever. And they tend to be, you know, I think demographically it's the older record buyer.
Well, that's
50 quid man.
A good point, because, you know, if teenagers aren't buying music anymore, you've got to get all the oldies back.
And yeah, absolutely. I think if you're 50 quid man or whatever, and you're staring down the barrel of your own 60s or whatever, you know, you're in your late 50s or whatever, maybe it's nice to see people of your generation treated with a degree of respect or whatever by the music business. But nonetheless, an amazing record, a really unexpected record, a really brave and daring record. I urge you to go out and buy it. I'm New Here by Gil Scott-Heron. It's out now on XL Records. He's also playing a couple of dates at the Royal Festival Hall, I believe, later in the year. So fingers crossed he actually turns up for those, unlike most of his concerts. Anyway, right, yeah, as I said, I'm New Here by Gil Scott-Heron, out now on XL Records. Go and buy it. It's brilliant. In the run-up to Valentine's Day, it's only right that we should move on to Singles Club for those singletons out there with a keen ear for new releases. Brilliant. This stuff is pure gold. I hope you're enjoying it. We start with Tim's choice.
He made me a tale of Joy Division. He told me there was part of him missing. When I was 16, he jumped off building. Mr. Peterson, I know you were ready to go.
That was Mr. Peterson by Perfume Genius. That's Tim's choice. Tim, explain yourself. Why did you bring that in?
I've been banging on about this song for ages to anyone who listens. I'm really obsessed with it. I think there's a lot to say about the music, but before that, I'd talk about the lyrics, because the lyrics... I mean, lyrics don't grab me on pop songs that often, actually. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm a big fan of lyrics, but when they do, they really get to me. And this, it feels like... I remember someone talking about Lou Reed, or I think it might have been Patti Smith, and she said he doesn't ever waste words. And I feel like that with this. Every kind of word is it's almost, you know, novelistic. It really poetic, really tells a big story in the space of like a couple of verses. And it's about kind of inappropriate relationship between the person who's singing the song. He's kind of looking back at when he was a kid, remembering this relationship he had with an older man. You infer that it wasn't...
A little bit touchy-feely.
It was a little bit touchy-feely. And, that, you know, it talks about how he let him smoke weed in his truck as long as he could convince him that he loved him enough. And then it ends up with this kind of older guy killing himself.
Oh.
Or throwing himself off a building.
Oh.
Happy Valentine's Day!
But what I think is most brilliant about it is it kind of paints a picture of someone who's, you know, probably a paedophile, but it does it with... It makes you feel sympathy for
him. Yeah, there's not many pop songs you can say that about.
Exactly.
I can think of Art Lover by The Kinks, which is about a paedophile watching little girls in the park, but manages to sort of make you feel a degree of sympathy for said paedophile. Less so, if you ever heard it, Jonathan King's post-jail album. If you ever heard it, it's called Earth to King. It's absolutely remarkable record. It's continual self-justification for why he enjoys...
Do have that album.
It is amazing, isn't it?
He sent to me.
He sent it to me as well.
Amazing is one word for it, yeah, definitely.
It's certainly unlike anything else. But yeah, so who is Perfume Genius?
He's one of these kind of new wave of kind of blog favourite... US indie stars who...
But don't hold that against them.
No, and you don't get to know that much about them. That's almost their thing, isn't it, to keep it all a bit kind of hidden. 80s rent boy is the look he's going
to... Wow, that's amazing.
As Paul Lester said in his column
recently. Again, you don't get many people going for a sort of early 80s rent boy look. He's certainly got his own thing going on. Yes. This sort of early 80s rent boy / paedophile thing.
And yet,
very original. Wow. Rosie, what did you make of that?
He reminds me of Sufjan Stevens musically, and also in the way that Sufjan Stevens, in a song like John Wayne Gacy Jr., it's so lovely and beautiful and the melody's so nice, and then suddenly you realise he's talking about something deeply unpleasant.
Yeah.
If we put the paedophilia to one side...
That's not a sentence you hear very often. But anyway, carry on, yes.
I don't always like that. But it's... I don't think it's a completely one-sided song. You know, I don't want to make it sound... I don't think it's a completely one-sided song in that he's talking about being taken advantage of.
No.
Because there's an aspect to it which is talking about something that I think everyone could identify, which is there's a time in your life where you're very impressionable, and if someone makes you a Joy Division mixtape and you've never heard that band before, it feels like no other time in your life. Like,
yeah.
We all want to go back to that time in our life when you heard these bands the first time and you felt so passionate and so moved by them that you seem to sort of lose as you get older.
Mm.
And I think he captures that feeling in this song really well. What he totally nails is projecting an image, whether it's true or not, I don't know, or projecting a world that you just want to get wrapped up in. As soon as I listened to it, I just felt like I wasn't in the room.
Mm.
And that's what you want.
I thought it sounded like Daniel Johnson. By whom I mean Daniel Johnson, the mentally ill Texan singer-songwriter, and Daniel Johnson, the X Factor contestant. Didn't think it sounded like him at all. Every week on X Factor it would come on, and this week, Daniel Johnson, I expect this big fat guy to come on and start singing about Casper the Friendly Ghost. Anyway, I thought it was really good. I thought it was amazing. Three sets of two thumbs up for that one. Brilliant. Mr. Peterson by Perfume Genius is out on the 22nd of Feb. Now, it's Rosie's selection. Okay, that was Swinging Party by Kindness. Rosie's selection. Rosie, tell us about Swinging Party.
Well, as you said, as we were discussing before, it sounds incredibly like Talking Heads.
Talking Heads.
Never a bad thing in my book.
No, 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 absolutely.
It's actually a cover of a Replacements track. And I, this guy's kindness, I'm not really sure, they're from Hackney, don't know very much about them. They basically post cover songs on their MySpace, like Gabrielle by Roy Davis Jr.
Oh, wicked.
They've completely changed the context of the song, and in doing so, highlighted just this amazing melody.
Yeah.
You feel, you know, even if you haven't heard this song before, I'm sure you feel like you have just by listening to the melody. It's so evocative. And I think it sounds contemporary as well, which is, you know, it sounds like it could be out now, which maybe says more about the new music that's being made now. You know, how much there is to do with a band from Hackney making covers of, you know, unexpected.
They don't do any
songs.
Original material at all?
I haven't heard it on the MySpace, and it's all very, I mean, their top MySpace friend is Arthur Russell, presumably not.
Well, I assume it's not the Arthur Russell.
Contacting it's the Arthur Russell, but it's whoever runs
Beyond the Grave.
By
the good offices of Derek Acora, top clairvoyant.
Whoever runs his MySpace page. So to me, it's like they've done their own Arthur Russell echoey vocals take on a lot of fantastic songs. And in this case, it works very well.
I think it works brilliantly. Tim, what do you make of it?
I mean, I really like it. I think by giving it a bit of a disco beat, he's almost made it sound more like the song The Replacements were ripping off originally, which seems to be Candy Staton's Young Hearts Run Free.
Interesting. Okay.
But I think it's really interesting what this guy does, because I think it is just one guy, and I'm not sure where he's from, because like we were saying earlier, he's one of these people who it's really hard to find out anything. He doesn't do interviews. He's just kind of like a guy. You can't even see his face most of the time because his hair's down to kind of his nipples.
Wow. Wow. That sounds really interesting. I've never come across before. But somebody is obviously putting it out. Moshi Moshi are actually releasing it as a single. It's out now, in fact. Swinging Party by Kindness. This is my selection. That was Home by The Boy Who Trapped the Sun. I was lost in a reverie there, listening to The Boy Who Trapped the Sun. New single by them. That's a guy from the Isle of Lewis, up in Scotland. Single coming out on Chess Club. I'll tell you why I like this. I was having a conversation, a slightly drunken conversation, a couple of weeks ago with a friend of mine about the forgotten genre skunk rock. which young people are laughing at me. It was a real thing. The NME were very big on it in that sort of post Britpop period. And I suppose you'd describe it as music that was made in the image of the beta band, really. And big bands were the big bands. People like the Regular Fries and Scott Four and the mighty Campag Velocet.
Great band.
Amazing. If you're ever stuck for something to do, go on YouTube and look up the video for We Are the Trumping Men by Campag Velocet. It's 4 minutes of your life you'll never get back. And we were saying, actually, although it's a sort of malign genre and people take the mick out of it now and stuff like that, it's seen as something that people did to fill time before the Strokes turned up. There's actually some really good records in it. There's something nice and loose about the sound of the best records on it. And I thought that sounded a bit like that. He set himself up. The press release said, he's heavily influenced by Nick Drake and Johnny Cash, which immediately, I must confess, makes me want to throw the press release and the record in the bin, because the world doesn't need anybody else influenced by Nick Drake and Johnny Cash. I don't think it sounds anything like that at all. I thought that sounded kind of funky, weird, loose-limbed, strange, slightly bluesy. Reminded me a bit of, again, a very maligned record, the first Gomez album, which is actually a brilliant album. Tim?
I wasn't quite as big a fan.
Okay.
But I mean,
that's fine.
when I went on to his MySpace,
no, it's fine.
I looked at his picture and the font, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Oh my god, who is this guy?" So it was quite a bad start.
Yeah.
But then when I heard it, I was slightly. It was better than I expected, and I do agree. It's got that thing. It's got that kind of lolloping rhythm to it, and it that I really like. But it was interesting you said about skunk rock, because it reminded me of that other scene that happened before the Strokes turned up, which was NAMM, the
what's NAMM?
Now it sounds, you know, can you remember NAMM? Were you in NAMM?
But Cheltenham.
It was the new acoustic movement.
Oh, good heavens.
Which was kind of
oh, good lord.
Your cheering breaks.
I was going to say the nights I spent
I am Klutz.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which had again had a few good records in, but I thought this kind of bridged the gap between those two, and I just I'm
it's
not
the
ready
missing
to go
link
there yet.
It's the missing link between skunk rock and the new acoustic movement.
Yeah, exactly,
we've all been crying out for that. Rosie, what do you think?
I don't have any weird old genres
sure?
to compare it to, I'm afraid.
That's a shame.
I had the same reaction as Tim. I'm sure that people will think, how could you let yourself be put off by, you know, how something looks on a MySpace? That's a terrible way to listen to music. But the point is that if you are nowadays, you're a new artist, people are going to Google your name, and the first thing that it's going to come up as MySpace, of course you're going to go there to listen to the music, and it feels incredibly corporate, the page. And what we were saying before about Perfume Genius, I was saying, you know, what he seems to have done so well is created the image of a world that you kind of want to know more about and want to wrap yourself up in. And the opposite happens here, is that first of all, I was quite, like you were saying about the press release, I just thought, oh god. And then when I listened to this song, I kind of liked his other songs more. He's got The Fox, which was a little Damien Rice, but it does capture a kind of autumnal emotion that good folk captures.
Yeah.
So I'm not as taken with it as you are, but I'm not as appalled by it as I was when I first, you know, when I first stumbled across him as an artist. And I just thought, what is, you know, I just felt like it was incredibly bland at first, and there's more to it than that. So what we're saying is he needs to get rid of the
he needs
corporate
to adopt
MySpace makeover.
More of a sort of bruised rent boy look.
Yeah,
is that what we're saying? That's the kind
80s
of,
rent boy. Yeah.
80s bruised rent boy.
But
somewhere
credit
in between.
To Alexis for getting beyond that and listen to the music.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, people. Remember that. It's all about the music. Home by The Boy Who Trapped the Sun is out now on Chess Club. It's time for your posts. In response to the tracks featured in last week's Singles Club, Herb Whisperer wrote, "Is it just me, or does the wonky synth line on DVA's Ganja bear more than a passing resemblance to a late 60s, early 70s kids' TV show? Possibly the Clangers." "Yes, it does," says producer Pete. "Your question's answered." I thank you. And in response to my choice, the collage track, I Love Martin Joel. Fuck it, old Martin Joel, wrote, "Alexis and any other listeners obsessed with 80s synth pop might be interested in a guy called Rescue Cat. His MySpace reads, 'Rescue Cat is influenced by the music minicab drivers play at 4 a.m. This is my guy. Rescue Cat, you're my boy. Listen to this. Rescue Cat is influenced by the music minicab drivers play at 4 a.m. when you're heading home wrapped in a warm blanket of drugs and alcohol. Heart, Magic, Smooth FM." Wow, I've never heard anything by him, and Rescue Cat is already my favourite artist in the entire world. You can find him at www.myspace.com/rescuecatmusic, all one word. And on Rosie's controversial choice, questions asked in the House of Commons about Rosie's choice of that David Guetta / Khalees track, SV80 reckons, "The single has a slightly rougher edge than much of the stuff Guetta has been churning out, but it still sounds like the kind of lazy remix superstar DJs have been phoning in for the last dozen or so years. For a woman who came to public attention with a song as cutting edge as Caught Out There, it's disappointing."
Fair dues.
SV80. Let us know your thoughts on this week's Singles Club tracks. You can come and find us on the blog, guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. Rosie, you've been really busy.
And somehow I found the time to set up a Twitter page.
In addition to that, yes, you set up a Twitter thing for us.
You can search for Music Weekly Pod, all one word, and it would take you there. It's not so full at the moment, but, you know, I have been posting classic Salt and Pepper tracks on there, you know, just to give you a hint of what might have come on the show.
Absolutely.
The old garage favourites in regards to last week's show with Hot Chip. So a little bit of that. And we're always interested in hearing back from people on Twitter what they think of the show, what they want on the show.
Let's move on. We've still got a special live track from Mike. That's Mike with two eyes. Snow for you. But before that, Fool's Gold is the self-titled debut album by this LA-based band who mix Hebrew sounds with music from Ethiopia, Mali and Eritrea. Never let it be said the music on this thing is insufficiently eclectic. We've had a bruised rent boy. We've got music from Hebrew sounds mixed with music from Ethiopia, Mali and Eritrea. We've had Gil Scott-Heron. Amazing. They came in to see you, Rosie. Is it true there are 11 of them?
I think there's 11 in total, but only 8 Seven or eight came into the studio.
Seven or eight. How many came in, Rose? You get your facts straight.
You know, you're surrounded by a room full of men that are in bands. They all look the same.
Yeah. Beardy.
Yeah. You know, sunglasses, a lot of them, because it was early in the morning, apparently. They came into the studio. They played a track exclusively for our show. But first, here's a song from their album, and this is The World Is All There Is. I'm here in the studio with Fool's Gold, about a very large band from LA. Luke, why don't you tell us who everyone in the band is? Just give them a quick introduction.
Sure, no problem. Obviously, I'm Luke, since you said so already. I sing today, and normally I play bass as well when we play live in our more standard setup. To my right is Louis Pezikoff, who plays lead guitar. Today he's playing a bouzouki for the first time. Actually, this arrangement's the first time we've ever played these songs in this way. So we found this instrument in the flat we're staying at. And so
it's missing some strings, no?
Yeah. We're making do. And to Lewis's right is Orfeo McCord, who's playing the Doombeck. Next to him is Salvador Placencia, who will also be playing a drum and is singing and clapping. On the ground next to Sal is Bradley Calkins on the acoustic guitar, vocals, and hand claps. Moving on, Amir Kennan with the Aviator Shades. He'll be singing along and clapping. And finally, Michael Tapper, also singing and clapping today. And that makes us whole.
Nice quick introduction.
Yes.
There.
Yeah, good one.
So yourself and Lewis formed the band, is that correct, originally, and then the rest of the lineup was added on. When did you form, and what was the common ground between you that you decided to collaborate?
About 4 years ago, did we have our daydream together? It started with a daydream, and then it materialized into long-winded, self-indulgent jam sessions, which then evolved into a more formalized group, and more, you know, structures came along, and, you know, I don't know, it just sort of evolved naturally from a thought, you know.
And now we're at your eponymous album, also called Fool's Gold, obviously. What song are you going to play for us from the album?
This song is called Hadvash.
What does that mean?
That means the honey.
Ooh. Okay, take it away.
יש לי זמן לזכור את הדלת, אין לי זמן לאכול מהעץ ולחלום.
Fool's Gold with Hadvash. I thought they sounded like, you know, when you go on holiday and you get in a cab, there's always music like that on in the cab. It doesn't matter what country you're in, they're always listening to something that sounds a bit like that. Or alternatively, it sounds a bit like something that might be going on in a restaurant while you're on holiday.
Both compliments, obviously. Both, obviously. You like music in cabs.
I love music in cabs. And I've always wondered what it was, you know, when you're on holiday and you get in and Hadvash is on. And now I know. So there you go. It's Fool's Gold.
They've written a lot of songs, Fool's Gold.
They've been going for years by the sound of it.
No wonder they got so many members.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, they seem to have a lot of guys. Came in just to clap.
Yeah, but to be fair, it is an acoustic setup in our studio, so people can't bring all their instruments. I saw them at Fabric, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Fabric.
Like the night or two, you know, three nights before they came in to play here, and it was quite different, not just because they were Fabric, but because they were plugged in.
Sure.
And it was quite fun to see them in that setting, because usually gigs in London can be quite sterile.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd not doing anything, and Fabric, everyone is there to have a good time. So there's loads of people like, what's this? Don't care. Let's dance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. And they were very good.
Yeah, I thought, I must admit, I preferred the track from the album than the track that did in the studio. But I mean, it's clearly different. When you hear the sort of description, you know, LA based band who mix Hebrew sounds with music from Ethiopia, Mali, and Eritrea. You do just sort of think, oh, they're going to sound like Vampire Weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in fairness, Tim, what did you make of it? They sound like Vampire Weekend.
Well, no, not at all. I mean, it's quite interesting because this indie Afro pop crossover everyone talks about, you know, there's not much indie in there really, is
there? No.
You wouldn't. What are the kind of implications of a bunch of guys from LA all grouping together and sitting around playing this music, which is, you know, people say that Vampire Weekend is kind of cultural tourism, but. Mm. What do you think about that? Do you think this is crossed the line?
I think music is a universal language, Tim, that anyone can speak, and I don't think there's any borders in music, man.
It's kind of the titles.
Free your
as well.
Head, Tim.
All the titles as well. Yeah. Well, that's, but then the singer.
The singer is Jewish. Mm-hmm. You know, we heard about hand clapping Salvador in there. He's not you know, American through and through. It's not a completely white Ivy League.
Sure.
But then I kind of like about Vampire Weekend is they do bring other elements to it, and I don't really get that from this. Even, I mean, I think it sounds nice, but
it's unfair to put them in the Afropop canon when they don't really sit there that easily.
No, I don't think it's sort of equivalent at all to that kind of thing. Anyway, it's certainly an interesting sound. It's provoked plenty of comment. Among us, perhaps it'll provoke some comment from you. Why don't you write in and tell us what you think of Fool's Gold, or if you too have heard them in a cab while you're on holiday. Fool's Gold by Fool's Gold is out on I Am Sound. That's the name of the record label right now. Well, that's almost it for this week. Thank you very much, Tim, for coming in and joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
It always is. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Rosie, always a pleasure and never a chore to see you too.
Right back at you.
Hey. Next week, we've got a Brit special. Whoa, hold on to your hats. The podcast will be available to download on Wednesday for the full post-Brit hangover effect. As promised, Mike, that's Mike with two eyes, Snow, recorded a track especially for Music Weekly. We also filmed them performing, so go and view the video in full at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. To play us out, this is Sylvia from Mike with two eyes, Snow. I'm Alexis Petridis. I'll see you next Wednesday. Ta-ra.
Reach the city steps tonight.